Welcome to another edition of The Realist Report. This is your host, John Friend. Today is Tuesday, April 18th, 2023. Of course, my website is therealistreport.com, where you will find an extensive archive of these podcasts, as well as other programs I participate in. You will also find all of my blog posts and articles, my Twitter feed, which is embedded in the right-hand sidebar of the website, a contact page, and many other useful and important links. I am on Twitter and Gab at Realist Report, and you can also find me on Telegram at t.me/TheRealistReport. I am a regular reporter for American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, and I also contribute to and help edit The Barnes Review, a bi-monthly revisionist history magazine. Please subscribe to these fine print publications if you do not already. Check out AmericanFreePress.net and BarnesReview.org for all the details. All right, today I'm joined once again by John Massaro, author of Will Vaccines Be the End of Us? All right, John Massaro, welcome back to the program, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, John. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's always good to catch up with you. It's been at least a month, I think, since we last did a podcast. In the last few podcasts we've done, we've actually been talking about your travel experience. And you certainly have much more travel experience than I do, especially internationally. But I've seen a lot of the United States. I've been overseas a few times. So I think with this podcast, we decided just to kind of have more of a laid-back discussion, talk about where we've been, some of our favorite cities, some of our least favorite cities, you know, just some general travel observations, what the country's actually like.
Yeah, so, I don't think this has been ever been done before. You know, it's as mundane as it sounds. I've never heard any kind of program about just discussing the states. Mainly, we're talking about the lower 48 now. So,
right.
And both you and I have seen quite a bit. So, I'll be. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. I was just going to mention very briefly, I'm sure most people listening are aware, but of course you are the author of Will Vaccines Be the End of Us, which is available from both American Free Press and also your website, endtheshots.com. And of course, I will have links over to your website and to, you know, direct links to where you can actually go out and purchase the book. We have discussed the vaccine issue and your book pretty extensively in previous podcasts, so I would encourage people to go back and listen to those if they have not already. And of course, to support your work and go out and pick up a copy of the book. It really is like the one book you need on the vaccine subject to really have a good understanding of why they're so dangerous, why they're totally unnecessary, and why they are extremely dangerous to your health. And they offer really no benefits whatsoever, but they do carry a great deal of risk. And not everybody gets injured when they, you know, receive a vaccine, but just the risk to reward ratio is so skewed on the risk side. I mean, I frankly don't see any potential benefits from any vaccine, whether it's the COVID-19 jab or any of the other ones that, you know, most people got when they were kids. So I think it's a very, very important issue, and your book is excellent in addressing it. It's extremely thorough. You get into all sorts of hidden aspects of history. So it's a really eye-opening book. It's a very, very, very well written as well, very well sourced. So I just wanted to mention that before we kind of jump into our travel stories. I don't know if you have anything to say about your book or want to make any other comments before we jump in.
Yeah, let me just say, if people don't want to order the book, they can read it for free on my website in PDF from beginning to end. The only thing you won't see is the front cover. So all you got to do is endtheshots.com and just scroll down. You'll see on the right-hand side, you'll hit that page where you can start reading my book from there. So,
right. Well, let's jump into our travel stories. And to kind of get started, let me just tell you, I mean, you know, and I'm sure most people listening know that I was born and raised in Omaha, Nebraska, which is like literally directly in the middle of the United States. If you're looking at a map, it's right on the Missouri River. So it's on the far eastern end of Nebraska. It's right on the border with Iowa. You can cross a bridge and be in Iowa in like 5 minutes from where I grew up. So, you know, I've always been sort of centrally located, at least when I was growing up anyways. And I've always been interested and just fascinated with maps. And I think that's pretty common among people that are, you know, travel fanatics. And I've always wanted to see the world. I was always interested in big cities. I can't remember the name of those books that we used to get when we were kids, but it was like the top 10 fact books where, you know, you could learn the top 10 cities for crime, the top 10 cities for industrial production, the top 10 cities for this. So that sort of information was always interesting to me. And of course, maps, as I mentioned, were always, you know, something that I was always fascinated with and wanted to sit, you know, I could sit down and look at a map. And often when we would take road trips, mostly in the Midwest, we didn't have the iPhone back then to tell you where to go. So you had to, you know, bust out a map and actually figure it out yourself. So that was always kind of my job when I was a kid. So really, I mean, when I was growing up, we mostly stuck to like the Midwest, essentially. I mean, we traveled to Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, South Dakota. I had family that lived in Salt Lake City and also in Idaho, so we would drive out there as well. And you know, if you're looking at a map, we'd usually take Interstate 80, and then it sort of branches north and gets into Wyoming. And then from there, there's a couple different routes that you could take. So we were basically traveling in the Midwest, in Wyoming, parts of Colorado, parts of Utah, parts of Montana, parts of Idaho, and then of course the other surrounding states, you know, Kansas, Missouri, Iowa. We did go up to Minnesota a couple times, and a lot of times we were traveling for baseball. I played baseball growing up, so
Oh, did you?
we'd have tournaments, you know, in the Midwest and stuff. Well, I remember my 12-year-old baseball team, we won the state championship, and we made it to the Little League, not the Little League World Series. We were one step below making it to the Little League World Series. I think they call it, what did they call it? It was the regional tournament. So we made it to the regional tournament, which was in Indianapolis, Indiana. So we drove from Omaha to Indianapolis. And then when I got into high school, I remember taking a trip. I think I was a sophomore, and it was a trip to Los Angeles, and I stayed on the campus of UCLA and kind of got to see California. I had never seen the ocean before. I remember going to like Santa Monica and going to the beach at Santa Monica and seeing the Santa Monica Pier. And California was really, really very, it really opened up my eyes. Because, you know, you coming from Omaha, there's not a beach in sight. There's no sand. There's no palm trees. There's no mountains. You know, basically, at least on the eastern end of Nebraska, you know, in Omaha, we got a river, we got some trees and some forests, and that's about it. I mean, there's not really much scenery to speak of. I mean, there's some nice parks and stuff like that, don't get me wrong, but it's very, very different than, you know, Southern California. So I was just fascinated with Southern California, with California in general. And
It sounds like
ultimately
your
I
parents.
ended up moving to San Diego. Yeah, go ahead.
It sounds like your parents were really kind of the adventurous type that they took you and I don't know if you have any brothers and sisters, but it seems like they wanted you to open your eyes to just to going to these other states and having a look around. Were they
You
kind of
know, they not really. I mean, I don't totally. I don't think you're totally wrong on that assessment. But I mean, I went to Los Angeles by myself. This was just me going out there when I was in high school. It was for this. It was like a medical program. It was basically for you know, students that were interested in potentially pursuing a medical career, you know, medical degree, which is something I did not pursue at all. So it didn't even, you know, I don't even know what I was thinking doing that. At the time, I thought it was you know, interesting thing, a cool idea. And, you know, I thought the trip would have been a lot of fun and just an interesting experience. And it certainly was, but I didn't get involved in anything to do with medicine. Thank God. Could you imagine, you know, getting in, you know, either pursuing a medical degree or pharmaceutical. I think I was interested in like pharmaceutical, or like pursuing a pharmaceutical education, and you know, that obviously would not have been a satisfying career knowing what I know now. But at the time, you know, I just thought it was interesting, and I really wanted to take the trip, and my parents were nice enough to do it. But yeah, I went to Los Angeles. That was like, I don't even know, maybe like a week we were there. I don't even think it might not even have been that long. And then we took some other trips. I remember we took a trip to Chicago when I was in, I think I would have been a junior or senior in high school. I participated in an organization called DECA, which is like a marketing club, and I think they're still around. I think that most high schools still have like a DECA team, and DECA was a really cool organization. You know, you really got to travel a lot and participate in different competitions and stuff like that, and it was all basically centered around marketing and developing business skills and things like that. But I remember we took a trip to Chicago. I can't remember exactly what it was for. It was some big DECA conference, though. And I remember being blown away by Chicago. I mean, Chicago is a major, huge city. And, we got to, my parents weren't with me, so I was kind of like on my own with some friends, and we had some teachers with us and stuff like that, but we kind of got to go out and explore the city a little bit, and I was just blown away. So I was kind of like getting an appreciation for big cities. And, again, growing, Omaha is a decent sized city. I mean, it's not like some small little town, but it's certainly not like a major metro area like
Right.
Chicago or Los Angeles.
Did you grow up right in the city or
Yeah.
in the suburbs or right in the
No,
city
no.
then?
I was like right. Yeah, I grew up like right, basically not far from like downtown. It's actually called they
Okay.
refer to it as Midtown. So yeah,
Okay.
it's like the heart of Omaha. You can get around Omaha pretty easily. It's not like the traffic isn't like that bad compared to like Los Angeles or New York or something like that. So, but that was kind of like my experience like in high school. And then when I got into college, I had a bunch of friends that well, not a bunch, but I had a few friends that went to school on the East Coast, one in Washington, D.C. We had a couple friends that lived in New York City. So I remember like taking trips, like usually once a year, I would fly out to Washington, D.C. and stay a couple days in D.C. And then we would usually take a bus. There was a bus that would take you from D.C. to New York. And I can't remember. It was probably like a 4 or 5 hour drive at least. I can't remember. It was a decent drive. So we'd, fly into DC and then take a bus, or if we had somebody that had a car out there that could drive us, we'd, hop in the car and drive up to New York City, stay for a few days, and then return back to Washington, DC, and I would fly back to Omaha. So again, I'm kind of getting in it, getting my taste for the East Coast, which is a very, very different, unique place.
Now, let me ask you, growing
Yeah.
up in Omaha, looking back on your childhood and growing up, what how do you are you nostalgic about it? Do you think it was a good place to grow up? And
Yeah, I think it was a really good place to grow up. I mean, overall, it's an interesting city. There's a decent amount. I think the thing about Nebraska and certainly, living, for example, in California for so long, and then I lived in New York for a little bit. It really gives you an appreciation for like how kind of laid back and simple things can be, and that to me, like, especially maybe it's because I'm getting older, that's a good thing, I think. You go to some of these other bigger cities and it can be chaotic, it can be a grind where you're spending most of your time working and really not even having much to show for it at the end of the day because everything is so expensive and you got to drive places. And so Omaha is definitely much simpler. It's a lot cheaper, it's a lot more affordable. The only thing that really is in my mind like a major downside of living, not necessarily in Omaha, but just like in the Midwest in general, is the weather. The weather and the scenery can be very, well, the weather especially can be very brutal here. In the summertime it's hot, it's humid, we get tornadoes and big thunderstorms and wind storms and trees are falling over. We'll get major hail, your car's getting hail damage. The weather is extreme and it can be very brutal. And then of course in the winter, we'll get blizzards and again, wind, it'll get down to negative 10, 20 degrees with the wind chill, and sometimes we won't even have any snow at all and it'll still be that cold. So it's a pretty extreme place, and that's probably, I'd imagine that's pretty common all throughout the Midwest. Maybe if you get down to like mid Oklahoma, like southern or mid Oklahoma, like Arkansas, it might get a little, the weather might not be as extreme, at least in the winter. But I know certainly like in the Great Plains, the Midwest area, yeah, the weather can be pretty brutal. And then of course, like I mentioned, the scenery, there's no beaches, there's, we got lakes, we got rivers,
That's my one problem with
that
the
sort of
Midwest,
thing.
that is a big part of the country. It can be pretty bleak and dull and not everywhere, but a lot of it, North, I remember North Dakota was very, I'm not trying to, I don't know if anybody from North Dakota is listening, but it was just a very boring state, very flat. Actually, I think they
Well,
had
you
their
know,
act together up
mo
there,
yeah. Well, most people say that about the Midwest in general. I mean, it's flat, it's boring, there's nothing to do, there's nothing to see. And I mean, if we're being honest, to a certain extent, that's true. I mean, it just sort of depends on what you're into. You know, if you grew up, your whole family has been farmers for generations, you know, it's something you probably appreciate and enjoy. And I've certainly, my family was, we were never farmers, you know, that's a funny thing, like moving to California or New York, it's like, oh, you're from Nebraska. What are you guys, farmers? You know, it's just like everybody assumes, and it's like, well, no, I mean, Omaha's a decent sized city. There's, you know, it's an actual city. Not everybody's like living on a farm. So anyways, you know, it kind of gets that rap, but you're right to a certain extent. And I guess it just depends on, you know, your preference, you know, what you're used to. I have a lot of respect for farmers and just that sort of lifestyle in general. Mm-hmm. So would I want to live that sort of lifestyle? I mean, maybe it's just something that I don't really have much experience with. I think though, that since I've been in so many big cities, maybe this is a bad thing, but I am kind of like a city person. I do like, you know, city environments. I mean, there's a lot of problems with major cities now, and you know, really there always have been, but I don't know. I just like that urban feel, you know, seeing different people, experiencing different things, the history of cities. You know, I love doing like walking tours. Most cities mm-hmm. that I go to, you know, and you can find them for free oftentimes. Where walk around the city for 2-3 hours and get a tour, and then you tip the tour guide or whatever.
Yeah, I like that idea. I've done that a few times myself.
Yeah,
let me ask you now. Yeah, when I know you spent some time on Long Island, and I'll get into my where I grew up too. But I remember you saying that you had a real bad feeling living in Freeport. And it doesn't bother. I'm not offended.
Not necessarily a bad feeling, just more like I just did not. Yeah. I felt like such an outsider. Like in New York in general, like not necessarily just Long Island, but like New York in general, like you know, in New York City, like Long Island, it's just a very just unique place, like its own country almost, you know? And I mean, if you think about it, that's the way most Americans thought of. I mean, everybody was tied to their state identity, and that is still is something that's, you know, that's a factor in, you know, American cultural life.
It's funny. The first time I went out west, actually, I was 20 years old, and I was always restless. I always wanted to see places far from home. So I was going to college. This is January of 74, and I was 20 years old at the time, and I flew to Phoenix, my first time in a plane. This is in January now. We had a month off of college, you know, winter break, and I hitchhiked back home from Phoenix. And I couldn't put my finger on it, but it just felt like a different country.
Yeah,
in a better kind of way, you know?
Ah, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I have I grew up, I was born on Long Island, grew up there, and I know, you know, very few people. You know, lots of people go to New York City, obviously, and Long Island is very close by. I grew up in a little town called, it's all dense suburbs, Williston Park, which is right next door to Mineola, which is the Nassau County seat.
Yeah.
Mineola is very well known.
I know the area.
I was just a couple of hundred yards from the Mineola line, and it was only like 35 minutes by train into New York. So I did go into New York a lot when I was younger. But, you know, growing up, you know, looking back now, I had a happy, normal childhood. I wouldn't want to live there again. I just moved upstate, you know, a couple of years ago. So it's not like, I'm totally, and I visit my family down there from time to time. But looking back, you know, it was really, you know, a good place to grow up. It was, and it was demographically, it was so much different than it was compared to now. And I'm looking back at the 60s. It was either white or black. Long Island is kind of like a checkerboard racially. A lot of white ethnic, you know, which I guess I am Italian, a lot of Irish, Italian, Polish, Greek, and old stock Americans as well. But it was all white. I mean, I don't remember a single, when I was growing up, any Indians, like Asian Indians at all.
No.
I don't remember one. And there wasn't a single Central American, anybody from the Spanish speaking Central American in Mexico. And only a few Chinese, just a handful.
And let me ask you real quick. The blacks in on Long Island back then, growing up, were they mostly in like Hempstead, like right on the border with Queens?
Hempstead was only two towns away from. Well, let me say, there was Williston Park, Mineola, Garden City, and then Hempstead, which is only like 5 miles away. Yeah, Hempstead was very black, and it was right down the block, right down Franklin Avenue. And I can still remember the race riots in 1967. It was very bad. The worst thing that happened on Long Island that I recall is that there were news reports of them walking into stores and just walking out with things.
Oh, and sort of like what they do now.
Yeah, well, no.
Same thing going on.
They didn't burn any, there was no arson or really large-scale riots. But it was still a little scary, because they were right down a block from us, basically. And even back then, Hempstead was very black. And then you had Roosevelt right next door, which was always very black. Well, you were in Freeport.
Freeport's directly south of Hempstead
and
Roosevelt, yeah.
Right. And it's about, I would say it's about one, I'm pretty familiar because I delivered oil there for a long time. It's about one-third black, one-third Hispanic, and one-third white, something like that. So it was, but again, back then there was no Hispanics. There was no mestizo, nobody from Central America. It was all either white or black. And, it was a good place to grow up.
Boy, it has changed big time since you were a kid. You'll find everybody there.
It's still safe. As a matter of fact, I've heard that there's a big influx of Irish, even more than when I was growing up, from Ireland. They've come in and, which is fine. I don't go there anymore, but, I'm sure they've been a good influence on the town. But, the one thing, now that I'm up here and now that, I've been around, seen a lot of places, it's kind of, we were never near nature. It was very densely packed even back then. Long Island's like that. But there are, one thing I do miss, and I hear a lot of people say this that have moved from Long Island, is they miss the beach. And I do too. There's something about the ocean, not being too far away from it. And the sound on the North Shore, which is also very nice. And, and if you go east.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say briefly, when I was out there, I like the only beaches that we really went to would have been like Long Beach, which is Long Beach, New York. There's a Long Beach, New York. I lived in Long Beach, California, but talking about the other Long Beach. Yeah, and then I remember going out to Montauk, which is on the very end of the island.
Oh, you went that far, huh?
Yeah, okay. And Montauk is really cool. It's really nice out there. But Long Island is actually a really big place, and there's a lot going on. There's a lot to see, a lot to do. I didn't really spend any time on the North Shore. Unfortunately, which maybe I kind of missed out. Is that would you prefer the North Shore over the South Shore?
Well, much of the North Shore is a lot of wealth up there. It's definitely more.
It's like old money, right? Like family's been there forever.
Much, yeah. Not everywhere, but a lot. There's a lot of tall trees. It can be very hilly, unlike the Central and South Shore. It's more pleasant just to drive through, but it's a lot of rich people, basically. Then again, there were suburbs, sprinkled in here and there. And if you go way out east on the North Shore, there's some vineyards, and it opens up a little bit. It's not as the farms. But just how things have changed in another way. I remember when, I want to talk about some of the trips I've made hitchhiking. I remember we used to hitchhike to the beach. Actually, you were in Freeport, so you were pretty close to Meadowbrook Parkway, which goes right down to Jones Beach.
Yep.
You never went down to Jones Beach?
No, yeah, no, we did.
Oh, you did? Okay. And that can get very ridiculously crowded, especially on the weekends. But what I wanted to say was this is how much the country has changed, too. When I was young, like in the 70s, when I was a teenager and my early 20s. People would hitchhike to the beach all the time on Meadowbrook Parkway. And before I started driving, I did it myself. And I would pick people up. You just see everybody did it, And I remember when I was in high school in Mineola, I went to a Catholic high school, Chaminade. Some of the students would hitchhike home on Jericho Turnpike, which is a very busy road. It was a common sight. And now you hardly ever see hitchhikers anywhere. Nobody does it going down to the beach. And that's just one of the ways the country has changed in a bad way, I think, again, back in the 70s, I took some really long major hitchhiking trips around the country, and also went to Canada. And it was fairly I won't say it was really common, but it was not unusual to see people hitchhiking. You know, and this is a day, this is kind of like the hippie heyday too. I mean, there are a lot of hippies out there. Not everybody that hitchhiked was a hippie. I certainly wasn't. You know, just like young people, out to explore their own country. And it was really, looking back, it was really a great experience. You know, it does have its risks, but it's just one of the ways the country has changed.
Yeah. Try hitchhiking nowadays. I mean, you'd probably be taking a huge risk. I've never hitchhiked ever in my life. I've never picked up a hitchhiker. But imagine when if you had a more homogeneous, high trust society, you could do stuff like that back then.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that has a lot to do with it too. You know, you don't know. All told, the several trips I've made cross country and sometimes back and forth upstate, about 15,000 miles, and that includes Canada as well. And I used to pick up hitchhikers as well, as long as they looked fairly. You know, a lot of people that stop for me would say, you know, the only reason I pick you up is because you look clean cut, you know, because there was a lot of hippie garbage out there hitchhiking too, and you never knew what you were going to pick up. But it was a great experience. I mean,
yeah, I bet. No, just real quick, because you said, so your first hitchhike experience, you flew to Phoenix and then you hitchhiked all the way back to New York.
Yes, I did.
Okay. That's a long journey.
Well, that was only one way. I made three other trips, you know, to the West Coast or up into Canada and back. So that was one of the shorter ones I had. You know, just to show you how educational it is too. I mean, you have so many interesting experiences. I remember I flew to Phoenix. I met this guy who was an Indian, and I don't even know where I met him, but I spent the first night outside of Phoenix on an Indian reservation. I don't know if it was a reservation, but it was with his aunt, and I slept in their trailer. And they weren't really friendly people, not really hostile, but not that friendly either. And then the next day, I hitchhiked up to Flagstaff. And this is how ignorant I was. You know, I'm thinking Arizona, okay, even in January, it's still going to be kind of warm. You know, you don't think of snow. So and the one night on that trip that lasted 1 week, I stayed in a motel in Flagstaff. And I opened up the door the next morning, and it was like a foot of snow, and it was a blizzard blowing.
Oh, my gosh.
And I went out to a truck stop, you know, to try to get a lift, and none of the truckers were leaving, and I was surprised they didn't shut the road down. But we did get out there. I did get out on Interstate 40. It was really pretty hazardous. And these two women picked me up, middle-aged women. I think they lived together. I don't think they were lesbians or anything, but whatever. They picked me up, and they lived in Santa Fe. And we drove to Santa Fe, and they let me spend they put me up in their house for a day, for the night. Very nice people. Had a look around Santa Fe. And then I hitched up into the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. And I remember there was a little, tiny little, beautiful little town called Eagle Nest. And I'm hitchhiking there. And this van full of students from Toronto picked me up. And they're going all the way back to Toronto.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you
probably met some of the most interesting people. Like, and you will, and that's another thing, like traveling, like you will meet, at least in my experience, and I think most people that have traveled a lot would say that, you will just meet some of the most interesting people you'll ever meet in life.
Yeah.
Hey, so, I wanted to ask you real quick, speaking of Santa Fe, I've heard that's a really cool town. Is it kind of still like an artsy type town, like mountain town?
You know, John,
were you even there long?
Almost 48 years ago, I was there.
I was going to say, okay.
I remember I liked it. It was like, it was just kind of, yeah, it was, I think that there's a town called Taos, not too far away. That's the real artsy town in the area. Santa Fe, it was, it had that kind of vibe to it. Artsy and hip and, but also a very pretty town. I don't know what it's like now. I mean, then I remember you talk about boring. We drove through, and what I liked about these people, that, you know, they were kind of a weird bunch. They were kind of leftist students. Some of them I liked, some of them I didn't. But anyway, we drove through eastern Colorado, which was very, very bleak and very cold. And I still remember, this is the kind of interesting experiences you have. For some reason, the The guy had a Texaco credit card, and he would only buy gas at Texaco stations. So we drove into eastern Kansas, and it was probably about 5 or 7 below zero. And he didn't have, whatever the reason is, he could only buy gas at Texaco stations. So we pulled into a Texaco station in a little town about 4 in the morning in Kansas, and we were almost out of gas. So he shuts the van off, and we just froze for a couple of hours.
Oh man. That's brutal extreme winters I'm talking about in the Midwest. Yeah. It is tough. It is no joke.
And I still remember he came, then thank God, this, even when it was still dark out, he opened it up around 6 o'clock, and he was dressed, you know, really just from head to toe, you know, totally covered. And it was just so cold, but it was so nice for that Vantage to start up again. And we get going. And then I remember we pulled into Salina, and that struck me as a really kind of a dead, I don't know. We went to a truck stop, and everybody was kind of like walking around like zombies. I still remember that. But it was clear. And then when we hit Missouri, it was the worst black ice I've ever seen.
On the road? Okay.
Interstate 70. And we saw a couple of tractor trailers that had gone off the road. One was laying on its side. We saw a school bus just skid off. I mean, it was just very scary. Then we hit the Illinois border, and I-70 was shut. And I still remember there were just tons and at least 100 trucks backed up because they just shut it down. And we slept on the floor of a truck stop. And then things cleared up. We got going. And, you know, it was the first time I was seeing all these states. So every time I would see, like, a welcome to Illinois, welcome to Indiana sign, it was just so fascinating. And it was like going to New York for the first time.
Yeah. And, Missouri, driving Interstate 70, we've done that before. And that's Missouri, especially southern Missouri and northern Arkansas, is absolutely beautiful.
You know, Missouri is the only state, I've been to all of the lower 48. Missouri is the only state I never got off and had a look on back roads. I went across I-70 maybe 4 or 5 times, but I just never... I've been to Arkansas, and you know we got on the back roads, but not. I always wanted to see that part of the country, actually.
It's pretty cool. Right? Yeah, pretty cool. I've only been down there like once, but I was very impressed with it. I thought it was a really cool kind of hillbilly, kind of laid back, like totally like my kind of people. People that are like, yeah. I mean, I'm not a hillbilly, but like you know, I.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Too,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Did you go to St. Louis?
No, I've never been to St. Louis. No.
Yeah, well, you probably drove through it if you were on 70.
Oh yeah.
Okay. You just never. Yeah, I never.
Kansas City as well. I've never been to Kansas City, but I've driven through it.
We used to go down to Kansas City Chiefs games every once in a while. I've been to a Kansas City Royals game. Nebraska actually played in the. This was back in the day, like when I was in college. They played in the. I think it was the Big 12 championship game down there at Arrowhead Stadium. So I have been to Kansas City a few times, and it. Kind of remind, I mean, it's sort of like just a bigger Omaha in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. It was, I don't know, I wasn't, it's an old town, you know, there's a lot of history there. I've always been kind of impressed with it, though. To me, it was a pretty cool place. St. Louis, I would imagine, would be similar, although probably a lot more dangerous. I don't know. I guess from what people tell me, Kansas City and St. Louis are both kind of dangerous places. Like, you got to be, well, I mean, in Chicago, like all the big Midwestern cities can be very rough.
Just about every big city that was pretty dangerous.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You know, certain areas, I mean. But you know what I wanted to say about Nebraska before I forget. You know, I'm really into trains, and Nebraska is the place for trains.
Yeah,
I can remember,
the Union Pacific Railroad. Yeah, they were headquartered here for years.
I can just sit by. I remember there's a little town called Thedford. Does that ring a bell with you?
Thedford?
Let me just flip my. Yeah, it's a long. It's in western Nebraska.
You're saying Fed, F-E-D?
No, T-H-E-D.
Thedford. No, I see it, yeah.
It's in the middle of nowhere on Route 2. And I can remember just staying there, just pulling up a seat near the tracks and just watching the trains go back and forth. Then, of course, you must know it, North Platte, right? North Platte, Nebraska?
Absolutely. You know anything about North Platte? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I had a lot of family out there.
Okay, that's the biggest freight yard in the world. I don't know if you know that. Yeah.
That's a major Union Pacific and probably other railroad, like major depot.
Yeah, biggest in the world. I mean, the tracks run like 5 miles, 8 miles. I mean, it's totally ridiculous. But yeah, I like
Yeah,
that.
I agree. I tend to I'm very interested in the and it's something I really haven't spent a lot of time like looking into and reading about, like the history of railroads and just the impact that they had on the country. It is a fascinating subject, though.
Yeah, I just something about the trains going back and forth. You know, it's just like the promise of the West Coast or whatever. So yeah, I always associate Nebraska with that. You know, there were some interesting. I remember going to you must know about Pioneer Village in Minden, Nebraska.
Yep.
Yeah,
I
I remember
remember
going there. Yeah, okay. So there were a little, you know, even though it's
We
kind of.
used we did stuff like that as well, like when I was growing up, like we'd take like little like mini vacations and go to Pioneer Village, and there's other, you know, sort of museums or living history museums that are similar. And I just remember thinking, how in the world did these people like back in the day, like they had like maybe a horse if they were lucky, maybe, you know, a donkey or like, you know, a bull or a cow or something. How the heck did they survive in the winter? Like they were some tough people that were trekking
Yeah.
across this country.
That's for sure. Yeah.
I and if you go to a museum like that or, you know, one of the living history museums or the pioneer villages, it's like, boy, these people were they were tough, they were resourceful, they had to, you know, really be smart about what they were doing. Otherwise, you could die quickly in the elements out there.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
So,
Yeah, you wonder how
anyways, yeah,
they.
go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, no, I just wanted to mention the first time I went away from home. This was, you know, my parents were never the adventurous type, let's say. So, you know, growing up on Long Island, I don't think as a child that we ever ventured like more than 100 miles. I can remember going to New Jersey a couple of times, maybe Pennsylvania, I don't remember. But we never really went very far. But when I was 10 years old, this is December of 1963. My grandmother lived, my mother's mother lived in Miami Beach, so we went to visit her. This is my first big trip, and we took, and you know, I'm the oldest of four, so at the time, I was 10, my brother was 8, my sister was 7, and my little baby sister was only 18 months. So we took a Greyhound bus from, and I still look back upon this with a big smile, and you know, we went from New York City to Miami Beach. And I can't picture a middle class family doing anything like that today. I mean, we took up all the
Yeah.
back seats. We had, you know, I just and why not? You know, it was such an interesting experience. I remember, and my little sister was pretty sick at the time too. So that added to the drama. And I remember we got down to in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is the first time I'm hearing Southern accents, which is very charming for me, you know. And we pulled into Raleigh about 4 in the morning, and there was supposed to be another driver to you know, to take over, and there was no driver. And my father was a very patient, easygoing guy, but he was livid. You know, he's got a little 18-month-old daughter who's sick, and the kids are getting restless, and what the hell is going on? So finally, we did get a driver, maybe 3 hours. We had breakfast in Raleigh, and you know, we made it all the way down to Miami Beach. So that was my first really big trip, and that just kind of
Yeah,
whetted my appetite to.
that's a nice trip. I see, and I think I mentioned this privately. We haven't discussed it in this podcast, but I've really never been to the extreme southwest, like Georgia, Florida, and I've really never been to the extreme northwest, like Seattle, like Washington, Portland area. So those are like the two parts of the country that I really haven't seen much of. Or at all, for that matter. I've never been to Florida. I've been to Washington, but the very eastern end of Washington that like borders Idaho. And I've been to like southeast Oregon, but like the coast of Oregon, the coast of Washington, and then, you know, the whole state of Florida and Georgia, South Carolina, I've never been to, North Carolina, I've never been to. So
Oh, you have to
those
go
are yeah, those are parts of the country that I would really love to go to. I've heard really good things about Charleston, South Carolina.
I was just going to say it's the most beautiful city in the country. It's really,
I've
really
heard that
beautiful.
from multiple people,
Yes, it is.
and yeah, I've just never been. Very, very old Southern, you know, they got
The architecture is
the
unique.
architecture, exactly,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. But there's other, you know, there's other really beautiful little towns. You know, I had some of these jotted down there. Have you ever been to Kentucky?
If
There's a
yeah,
town.
I think, but really kind of just driving. Like we didn't, I don't
Okay.
remember really doing anything in Kentucky.
There's a little town called Bardstown, which is really, really beautiful. And it's right in the middle of bourbon country. All the bourbon distilleries are, you know, pretty close by. Because there's something about making bourbon. They have there's something about the chalky rocks that the water has to run through, something like that. So you have Jim Beam, Maker's Mark. They're all in the area, and that's
Okay,
just
cool.
there's so many like little interesting things to see like that. You know, you mentioned Iowa. You know, you were very close to Iowa. Did you ever go to the Biley Clock Museum? Ever hear of that in Spillville, Iowa?
No,
No.
actually, no.
There was two Czech immigrants who they spent like 40 years of their lives carving clocks. You know, the most beautiful hand-carved wooden clocks. Yeah, it's like a little museum there. And you could see what they carved. And these are like these little gems that you really have to look into. And with the internet, you know, you can find these things. It's in a little town called Spillville. And I think
Yeah,
it's.
I see it on the map. It's kind of like northeastern Iowa,
Oh,
like
it's northeast? Oh,
close to the
okay.
border. Yeah, close to the border with Minnesota.
Okay. Yeah, very interesting little place. But again, I mean, there's so many like little interesting things that you would never imagine were there unless you went, you know, unless you looked into it. One thing I, you know, recently, you know, in my more recent trips around the States, what I've done is I like to, if especially if I'm going to go to the Midwest, I like to take in like a county fair. So you can, it's very
Yeah.
easy to find on the internet, you know,
Yep.
just to get a real feel for the country. You could usually work that in to,
You know what I like doing? I like going to either like a farmer's market or like an outdoor like artisan market. And you know, you really get to you can talk to the locals, you kind of see what the vibe is like, see what people are up to. Yeah, and also get a lot of good information, a lot of good tips, where to go, where to avoid, what good, you know, good restaurants, that sort of thing.
Farmers market. Yeah, I can't remember going to too many, you know,
I've always been like big into farmers markets, even like
they're
Omaha.
nice.
Omaha, yeah, Omaha always had a big farmers market. And when I moved to California, oh man, there was farmers markets like every single day. So I was always buying most of my fruits and vegetables and just other, you know, a lot of other, like honey, for example. I'd always buy honey from a local farmer's market or, you know, all sorts of stuff, you know, and it's a good way to support, you know, local business, you know, local, and
Sure.
frankly, most of the people there are white. So, you know, you're at least, you know, doing business with good people, you know, supporting, you know, good
Yeah,
local small
one
businesses.
thing that always struck me about California was that they grow just about everything there. Everything
Everything.
grows there. Yeah,
Everything.
it's really amazing. There aren't many places in the world. Turkey is the only other place that would measure up against California as far as growing everything. Nuts, you know, fruits, vegetables, everything under the sun.
Oh yeah.
But
Yeah, and that
California is really
was
unique that way.
yeah, and that's like one of the main reasons why it's like such to me anyways, in my opinion, the scenery, the beaches, the access to food. I mean, you just don't have that anywhere else that I've ever been.
Yeah. Did you go to the Redwoods when you were in California?
No, I didn't. See, that was
Oh,
a
God.
thing. I know, like I never really I basically like stayed kind of in Southern California. I mean, I went to Santa Barbara's like basically Southern California, but I did go to Santa Barbara a couple times. I did drive up to Santa Cruz, and that was a beautiful drive, and that's kind of more like in the center of the state. And I did make one trip to San Francisco, but aside from that, I really was like basically in the southern part of the state, like Los Angeles area, San Diego area, and then you know I had some family that lived in Las Vegas, so I'd drive out to Vegas quite a bit and you know kind of drive through the desert. But most of my time was in the LA, San Diego area, and I mean there's plenty to see and do there as it is,
Yeah,
so.
I've been to San Francisco a few times, but I've never been to LA or San Diego. I've heard San Diego's really,
San
well, everything is.
Diego, I would say, and you know what, maybe we can kind of jump into this, like your the favorite places you've ever been. And let's just stick to America. We can maybe next podcast
Sure,
we'll
of
talk
course.
about overseas stuff. But I would say for sure San Diego is the best city that I've ever lived in. It's definitely much cleaner and much better just organized and ran than Los Angeles. I was, you know, I'm kind of like partial to big cities, and moving to when I moved from San Diego to Los Angeles area, it was a big adjustment, 'cause Los Angeles is like way bigger than San Diego, way more spread out, way more traffic, way more people, way more densely populated. And San Diego's a, you know, a pretty big city. I think it's in the top 10, but it's just like a total, like LA is like a totally different, you
It
know,
just
beh
sprawls on
behemoth.
forever.
Yeah, it's just massive. So it was a big adjustment, but it kind of grew on me, and I actually really I like all of Southern California. Although, again, there's all sorts of problems, the homeless people, and you know,
Oh, God.
the politics are absolutely garbage. But there's a lot to see, there's a lot to do, there's a lot to experience, and it's just absolutely beautiful. San Diego especially. The
I've
scenery in
heard
San
that.
Diego is just outstanding. The beaches are
And
amazing.
I've heard the weather is perfect
The
there.
weather is perfect. I mean, it is. Yeah, it's absolutely perfect. And it's one of those areas where you could be at the beach, you could be in like a downtown, like urban vibe, you could be in the mountains, you could be in the desert, all in the span of like an hour drive. You know, you could really kind of experience everything. So, yeah, I would say for sure San Diego is number one. I always really liked, and I haven't been there in years, but we took a trip to, I remember driving with a friend of mine. We left Omaha and we were driving to Alabama, actually. He was moving to Alabama. And we had some friends that we went to high school with that ended up in New Orleans. And we drove to Alabama and then we took a trip to New Orleans, drove from Alabama to New Orleans. And I was so impressed with New Orleans. I was like, we have got to come back here.
New
So we.
Orleans is unique, absolutely unique. It is,
Absolutely. It is a really, really cool
it's one of
place.
a kind. But you know what? Actually, I've been there like I think 3 times. The last time I went with my son, we took Amtrak from New York all the way down, 32 hours each way, the Crescent.
Oh, man, that's a
And
long train
yeah, I
ride.
know, but
Wow.
it's, yeah, it is. But we, you know, and I had been there before. And when you're talking about New Orleans, you're really talking about the French Quarter, right? I
Well,
mean, beyond
yeah,
that too.
yeah, yeah. I mean, one of my friends lived in. So the first time we were there, we basically were pretty much mostly in the French Quarter area for most of the trip. But then, so this would have been in the. I think it would have been the summer of 2009, shortly before I moved to California, because I moved to San Diego in, I think it was July of 2009, and I think shortly before I moved was when we took the trip to Alabama and New Orleans. And I think, yeah, so I think it would have been like either in May maybe, or even maybe in June. I'm not even sure. I can't remember. But yeah, that first trip we were basically in the French Quarter area, and one of our friends that lived there lived like right in the French Quarter. So, but I remember we were all like, yeah, we got to come back here. Let's come back for Mardi Gras. And so we planned a trip to come back for Mardi Gras because we had some friends that lived there. And one of them ended up moving into a neighborhood called the Garden District, I think it is. And let me see if I can find it on the map. It's not like right in the French Quarter. It's like more in the city. And it was just such a cool experience. Yes, there are all sorts of black people everywhere. But I mean, it was just a cool, like everybody seemed to get along. I mean, you know, more or less anyways. I mean, I didn't see anything crazy when I was down there. I mean, I'm sure there's problems, don't get me wrong,
Well,
but it
even when
was
I
a
was in,
really
even
cool, unique. It is a very, very unique place for sure.
It's one of a kind. But even in the French Quarter, there were a lot of, there were a lot of cops on horseback, and there were a lot of little black kids playing. And this is at night now, you know. But you know, it was safe to walk around. But I had that feeling. I remember they were pounding on drums, and it was the feeling that something could break loose. You know, whenever there were a lot of blacks around, anything could happen at any time. You know, let's talk about the real world.
Gotta be
So
careful, yeah.
you got to be careful. Yeah, I mean, and then I remember we went on a walking tour outside of the French Quarter. Did you see any of the cemeteries there? I forget
No,
what.
no,
Yeah.
actually.
No, and we were told. Well, I had the feeling it really just wasn't safe to go into these cemeteries. I think what's unique about it is these cemeteries is that they don't bury people because the water table is so high. So everything is above ground.
Everything's above ground. I was gonna say,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
They had like the big
But
what do you call them, like the big tombs, like just above, yeah, sitting above the ground, yeah.
And that wasn't far from the French Quarter, but I remember there was, you know, entering, so I went with a little, you know, it was like one of those walking tours, like you had mentioned earlier, maybe 15 people, you feel safer that way, and at every entrance, I remember there were cops and security people, so you knew this. There's a lot of crime that goes on here, so it's not really a safe place. But, you know, I felt safe. We were in a group and it was okay. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
But
well, I remember there's an area, there's a big park, the Audubon Zoo. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that rings a bell, but I remember, I want to say that's near where we were. It was like St. Charles Ave. That's one of the main roads there. One of the main thoroughfares. And mm-hmm. there was also another street called, that kind of was more like along the river. Let me see if I can find it.
You know, by the way,
I don't even know how to pronounce it. This is how you spell it. T-C-H-O-U-P-I-T-O-U-L-A-S.
Oh, forget it.
Chopatula Street? I have no idea. But there was – I remember we went and saw a concert actually when we were there at a place called Tipitina's. And it's just the – it's a super cool, like, old school, like, music venue. And that whole area was really, really kind of cool, I thought. I mean, the whole city is really a very, very interesting place, very unique. I mean, you will not find, at least in my experience, I don't think I've been anywhere even comparable to New Orleans. The culture, you know, people.
In a way, the state of Louisiana is kind of unique, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't have counties, they have parishes. I mean, it was the French influence, I guess, when the Acadians came down from Canada. I don't know. It's like
French. I think the Spanish even had some influence there.
Yeah, it's really kind of unique.
Yeah,
I don't remember the name of the town. If I flip, we went to it. It was a Saturday morning, and they were playing Zydeco. You know, Zydeco music.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was drinking beer. This is like a Saturday morning. It was a town. It would take me a while to find it and identify it. But it was in the same area as – it was probably within 50 miles of New Orleans. And it was just such a unique thing. You know, these people playing the accordion and fiddles and stuff, people dancing. This is like on a Saturday morning about 10 o'clock, people drinking beer. And it was
That sounds sounds like New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah. No, it wasn't New Orleans, though. It was outside of New Orleans.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean. Yeah. It sounds like that sort of vibe, that like southern Louisiana type vibe, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then you go over into Mississippi, and it's not. You said you've been to Mississippi and Alabama.
Well, yeah, we drove. I mean, we drove from Omaha, and I was actually looking at the map like earlier, trying to figure out what route we took. I think we took I-29 south to 70 across the state of Missouri, and then I think it's 55 freeway. Yeah, I think we took 55 south, and then we ended up taking like the 22. Freeway 22 that takes you into Birmingham, and then you continue to go south into Montgomery, and then we went from Montgomery south on 65, which takes you through Mobile, Alabama, and then like on the coast of Mississippi, I think. And then we ended up getting into New Orleans.
What did you think of Montgomery? Did you stop there at all?
Yeah, I was in Montgomery and I was in Birmingham, and I wasn't that impressed with either of the cities, actually. I mean, it was in the summer, so it was very, very hot. Everything was tied to the whole civil rights movement. And back then I wasn't really like, you know, I didn't really have like a revisionist perspective on it. So I didn't really, it was cool. It was very old. It was, you know, you could tell there was a lot of history and a lot of, you know, just a lot of history in general there, but it just didn't seem like there was much to do, frankly.
You know what? I did not go to Birmingham, but I did go to Montgomery, and it struck me as almost on its way to being a ghost town.
Yeah, yeah.
It was very strange. There was so many. You know, when I stopped, it was such a flashpoint during the all the civil rights stuff in the 60s, and it was a Martin Luther King's base. I remember I went to his church, and I went to the Greyhound bus station where a lot of stuff happened, and there was really nothing going on. And what I remember was, and it was a kind of a pretty town, actually. There was a big fountain in the downtown area, and the state capitol was kind of nice. But what I remember, what really stands out is that there was so many parking spaces. I mean, there was just.
Yeah, where we left off, you were saying that you were struck by how many parking spaces there were in
Yes.
Montgomery, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was the only thing I did there. I went to the Hank Williams Museum, which was kind of nice. It was kind of neat. But yeah, I got had the feeling it was just a dead town, just like no vitality to it at all.
Yeah, that was sort of my impression
You're
actually as well. Yeah, like just not a lot of going on. Like there, yeah, I don't know. I mean, and I wasn't there for all that long. I mean, it was a couple days, I think, at the most. But yeah, it wasn't really anything that really stood out to me.
I
But you know what?
remember.
Let me just mention this really quick because I'd kind of asked like your top cities like that you've been to in the United States. So and I'll just respond briefly. So San Diego for sure would probably be number one. New Orleans would probably be number two. I really like Los Angeles, although again, there's all sorts of problems with Los Angeles. And Philadelphia was a really cool city. I spent some time in Philadelphia last summer, and I was really impressed. I thought it was a really cool place. A lot of history. I got to see a lot of the, museums and stuff, and did a good walk. Did a walking tour.
Did you go to the Liberty Bell?
Yeah, I did. Yep.
Did you notice, was there, you said you were there last year, recently?
Yeah, it would have been like last, I think last June.
I was there in 25th, 8 years ago, and there was a big, first of all, it was, I didn't even know the gay rights movement actually started there. So I was there, and I still remember it was July 1st, 2015, and they were about to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the birth of the queer liberation movement. Everything was decked out in rainbow colors, all kinds of weird stuff. And then Liberty Bell, I remember my son always wanted to see the Liberty Bell, and I hadn't been there since I was in junior high school. Right next to the Liberty Bell, there was a huge picture of Nelson Mandela. Do you remember that? Did you see that?
I don't recall that, no.
Yeah, and also a picture of these queers picketing, and the funny thing was they looked kind of presentable back then. They were wearing jackets and ties, and I still remember one guy was holding a sign that said "Homosexuals are Americans too," so they were really celebrating the whole gay lib thing and Nelson Mandela's picture by the Liberty Bell, and I thought.
They definitely had a big like gay neighborhood like right in the city center area.
Yeah. I mean, it is nice. There
That's
are some nice things to see there.
I didn't realize that I thought it was what is that in New York? The right in I think it would have been the oh God, I think I have it.
Stonewall Inn, is that what you're
Sto
thinking of?
yeah, I have a web or have an article on it on my website.
Well, you
Anyways,
have the
yeah, no,
whole
I thought
Greenwich Village.
I yeah, there you go, Greenwich Village, that's what I was thinking of. Anyways, no, I thought Philadelphia was really cool. I mean, again, it's like a lot of crime and stuff, and there's all sorts of problems with Philadelphia, but great architecture. Did you see the Philadelphia City Hall?
I don't recall off. That's not where
It's
the
just an absolutely incredible building.
founding fathers met, is it that, or is that
No,
another
that would have
building?
been
Now, like
more
Constitution. What is it? What is it called? Constitution Hall? Or
Yeah,
we did see.
yeah,
Yeah.
Constitution
No.
Hall, yeah.
Yeah. No. I didn't get a good feeling. Well, again, we were only there for one night. We just took the bus from New York. I didn't. I still remember. I wanted to. There was. I wanted to take in a baseball game. I think the Milwaukee Brewers were in town, but I said, I'm not. I don't want to walk down those subway stairs. It was only two stops away from downtown Philly, but I said, let's just go out and eat, find a place to eat instead. These subways in these big cities, they're
I
too
never
scary.
take the subway. Yeah, I didn't take the subway at all in Philadelphia. I have taken it in New York, but not in a long time.
I've taken it in New York. I would never take it again. The only reason I took it last time, which was about 20. About 20 years ago, is because it was a big rainstorm. Yeah, it's just scary walking down those steps.
Oh yeah,
The only other
and
place,
then all
the
the
only other
people.
place, oh God, the only other place I've taken the subway was in was the BART system out in San Francisco, and that was a little scary too. So,
I
yeah.
would say
So,
the fifth city after Philadelphia would definitely be Chicago. So that's probably my
really,
top
you like
five.
well, you like Chicago? Well,
I think
I
Chicago's a
guess
really
we're.
cool place.
I think we're different that way. I'm not a big city person, especially,
Oh, okay.
yeah. I'll tell you the most, in my opinion, the most degenerate city I've ever been to in the States is Austin, Texas. Are you over there?
I've never been to Austin, Texas. The only city I've been to in Texas is Dallas.
Okay.
No, so
Yeah, I
I've
just
never been to
I
Austin. I one of a
yeah.
buddy of mine actually went there like within the last year, and I don't know. He said it was okay. It was kind of I kind of got a like a California vibe, you know, like it's very like liberal and
Oh,
sort of
extremely liberal.
yeah,
Yeah.
so I could see that, yeah.
Yeah, like San Francisco, relocated in Austin. Yeah, it's just it wasn't my kind of place. So,
San
you know what I
Francisco
want
was a
to.
beautiful city. I mean, I haven't been there for years, but that was a really incredible place.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I don't know. I was last there. I think it was 2011, 2010.
Yeah,
You know,
I think that
it
was
was
like right when I
walkable
was
then.
there. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's as bad. It was as bad then as it is now, from what I've been hearing. But yeah, I wouldn't. I'm done with. Yeah, I was in Seattle in 1987. I thought it was a nice city, but from everything I've been picking up in the news since then, I wouldn't go there again.
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
but
Well,
you
see,
said, all
that's the
right.
thing. That's the thing that's such a tragedy is like all these big cities that, you know, have these great histories and cool architecture and cool things to do. It's like they've just been wrecked by these, you know, but just by the left-wing prosecutors and the left-wing politicians. I mean, it's just a total mess.
You know, I'll tell you one thing. You talk about, I have very few cities that I would call favorite cities, but I remember, have you ever been to Boise, Idaho?
Yeah, my grandparents lived in Boise. That's a cool place.
I really like, it's been a really long time since I've been there, about 40 years, but I thought that was a really neat city. They just had a
So,
feeling of the West. It was
yeah.
small, it was manageable. I really liked it.
Boise's really nice. Salt Lake City is a really nice city too.
Yeah, I've been there. It's not a bad place. It's been a long time. I'm looking at the map now, trying to figure out what other cities really kind of
So you don't
struck
have
me.
like a top five like that you can.
I can't say I'm into. Well, all right. I mentioned Boise, Annapolis. I thought was very pretty. Maryland. I've mentioned Charleston. I would say none of the majors, none of the really big cities. And I haven't. There's a lot of big cities I haven't been to. Like I said, I haven't been to San Diego, L.A., Kansas City, St. Louis, Memphis. I haven't been. Little Rock, never been.
I'd really like to go to Nashville. I haven't really been to Nashville. I've just kind of driven through it.
Yeah, no, I've been to Nashville a lot. It was a long time ago. I went to the country music, did the country music thing. It was a very long time ago. I don't remember. I remember it was okay. I mean, it was not the kind of place I'd want to visit again. I want to mention one. If people want to take, anybody listening to this wants to take a really neat vacation, this is my recommendation for really doing something interesting. Now, you said you were in South Dakota, right? Did
Yeah.
you have you been to like did you stop off and see Mount Rushmore and all that in
Yeah.
that region?
Yeah, this was when I was like a kid though, yeah.
I would say there's so much. If you want to go there and have a real interesting time, go in first week of August. You'd have to get the dates. Have you heard of the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Have
Yeah,
you seen?
that's a
Have you
big
ever been
thing.
there, Jordan?
I
Oh
didn't
my God!
No, we did
Have
we were like in South Dakota like around like as it, I think as the event was approaching or maybe it was ending and yeah, there's a ton of bikers. It's like
more than a ton.
It's like millions of, well, maybe not
Yeah, a
millions,
million.
but
I mean, and it's real. It's crazy. It's like the Wild West, but it's
yeah.
very family. I know there are gangs there. There were a lot of cops and state troopers, but it's also very family friendly, very, very safe. But it was just crazy. I mean, it was like free crazy, but everything was in control. It was just really, really a wild, interesting time. And that takes place every. Go ahead. What were we gonna say?
Oh, I was gonna say, I remember we drove that, I think it's Interstate 90 that goes through the state, like kind of the southern part of the state, east and west. And I
Yeah.
remember we went to like Rapid City. Yeah, I see. Yeah, and Sturgis is like just north of Rapid City. And
Yeah,
there's the Badlands and the, like, what is it, the Black Hills, I think.
yes, I was gonna say the Badlands. That was really the first national park I saw. And I remember I had some neighbors that worked in Montana. They used to drive back and forth, and they told me you got to see the Badlands. So this was on one of my hitchhiking trips, actually. This guy picked me up. I'll just quickly say, just one of the experiences you get hitchhiking. I don't know. He must have picked me up in Minnesota. And it was at night, and I usually didn't hitchhike at night. Anyway, he was driving all the way from New Jersey to Rapid City, and He was taking amphetamines. I remember he had a plastic bag full of speed on the
Oh,
the
God.
console.
Watch
Yeah,
out.
now he was an okay. He was an okay guy, but he was just trying to stay awake. And he didn't know anything about the Badlands. And the Badlands, it's like a little loop off 90, right? So we got there, and there was a big rainstorm at night. We drove through the rain, but it had stopped, and we got there around dawn. And it was just like being on the moon. I mean, I had never seen anything like that in my life. And both of us were just blown away. And you know what I want to mention too? The only reason I bring this guy up was he only had a little bit further to drive to get to Rapid City, and then he fell asleep on 90. I was asleep too because we drove through the night. And I remember waking up. And there was just this feeling. This violent wrenching feeling woke me up. And here we are in this convertible, and it's just swerving all over the road. And we went off the road.
Oh, no.
You know, and I just
–
Wow. Yeah, and you think to yourself, if this thing flips, that's it. It's, you know, because it's a convertible. You know, he had the top up, but that doesn't matter. He's just going to get crushed. So, yeah, thank God. It just – it was totally out of control. And we ended up it didn't flip or anything. But we went off into the grass, into the mud. So that was – that's one of the perils of hitchhiking. But again, he just fell asleep. That's all that happened. So, but there are some. But you know, I've been back there a couple of times since then. And the last time I was there, again, you have Mount Rushmore, which is of course is kind of like a real everybody I think should kind of make a pilgrimage just to see that. You have the Badlands, which I just mentioned, the Black Hills, which are those really neat kind of black these rock spires. It's just a very interesting drive. And when I was there last, actually, when I was in the Badlands, when I took my son there, this was, again, about 10, 11 years ago, there were some buffalo running wild there, roaming wild. That was
wow.
Really
yeah, it's a pretty state, too.
Yeah, well, I would say just the interesting part of the state is that southwest corner. And then also there's an Indian reservation there, and this is at the same time the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally is going on. They have an annual powwow right around the same time, first week of August, first 10 days or whatever. We went there and we put up our tent, and they had all their teepees. And again, the Indians, you know, they're not real friendly people, but they were kind of polite in a quiet kind of way. We had no problems with them. And they had rodeos and stuff. And it was just a big tribal thing. And I think there was only two or three other whites there, but, you know, thousands of Indians, you know, and mostly in teepees or tents, you know, whatever they had. But it was a lot of teepees. And that was interesting, too. And then you have, there's a lot of cowboy and Indian stuff there, a lot of history.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And then just over the border in Wyoming, about a two-hour drive each way, you have Devil's Tower, too, which is definitely worth seeing.
Yeah.
So I would say
we went there, too, when I was a kid.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yep.
I tell a lot of people, if you want to do so, if you want to have an interesting vacation, go to South Dakota, the southwest corner of South Dakota in early August. So that's one of my favorite. You know, when you talk about favorite cities, obviously it's not a city, but that's one of my favorite
parts of the country.
One of my favorite events, let's put it that way.
Okay.
So.
You know, and I'm going to be actually driving later this summer from Omaha to Salt Lake City. And I'm trying to think of, like, a good place to stop, like, halfway in camp. That's a little out of the – like, kind of out of the way. Like, you know, it's probably an extra, like, 5 or 6 hours, I'd imagine, or maybe even more. But, like, even, like, northern Colorado, southern Wyoming, like, where 80 is, it's kind of – I mean, once you get, like, in way far western Nebraska, like, into eastern Colorado, eastern Wyoming, it's pretty – you know, it's pretty bleak. There's not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there's also some mountain ranges the further west you go. So I've been kind of thinking about it. I just don't know exactly where would be a good place to stop for the night. And not even for the night. I want to be able to, you know, spend, you know, half a day and hang out and then camp out at night and then wake up in the morning and, you know, keep going. So I don't know. I got some thinking to do about that, but it would be cool to be able to get up to South Dakota where you're mentioning.
Yeah, but again.
But it is just kind of out of, you know, it's kind of
it is
out
of the way. I don't think you have to go too far off 80 to get into some real mountain stuff in Colorado. Let me just flip over.
Well, 80 kind of 80 doesn't even really go into Colorado because it kind of
Oh,
splits.
you're right.
Yeah, 80
Yeah,
goes.
but
If you stay on 80, it'll take you right into Wyoming. You gotta take 76,
well,
which
if
goes
you're going to
south
Salt
into
Lake,
Denver. Yeah.
if you're going to Salt Lake, it would take 70, right?
No, it's 80
Oh
goes.
yeah,
80
I'm,
goes
oh
right
yeah,
through
I
Salt
see. I
Lake.
see that.
80
Oh
goes
yeah.
from San Francisco, like directly across the country to, I think 80 ends in New York City, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're
Or
just
like right
across
near
the
New
bridge
York
in New
City. Yeah,
Jersey.
yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Well,
So
you go through.
anyways,
Have you been to Cheyenne?
I think we did maybe either spend the night there or yeah, no, I've been to
It's not a
Cheyenne.
bad place, you know. It's small. You know, it's one of the smaller capitals.
I had a friend that went to University of Wyoming in Laramie, which I think is right
Okay.
near Cheyenne. Let me see, where's Laramie? Yeah, Laramie's just a little bit further west on 80 from Cheyenne. And I remember we went out there for a weekend, and or maybe it was like maybe a little bit longer than a weekend, but I remember we drove to Laramie, and then we went from Laramie, and we had friends in Fort Collins that went to Colorado State University. So we drove from Laramie down to Fort Collins, and Fort Collins is a really cool town. Colorado is an awesome state, by the way. I don't know if you've driven through
Oh, it
it,
is.
but it
Oh,
is
yeah,
an
I've seen a lot of it.
absolutely beautiful drive.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been to Boulder. I know that's a really cool like mountain town where University of Colorado is, but I've driven, through the mountains a few times actually, like through across the whole
They
state, and it's just
get pretty high, man.
amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. You know what? Getting back to South Dakota, I just wanted to mention a couple of. You talk about cities that. I'll tell you another city that's really. Here I go. I'm jumping all over the place. Montpelier. Well, have you ever been to New England, the New England states, Vermont, New Hampshire?
I've been to New Hampshire. I've kind of driven through Vermont a little bit. Haven't really spent a whole lot of time, but I've been to New Hampshire. I've been to Boston. I've been to Maine a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, not much though.
What I wanted to mention, again, now you're bringing up cities. I said I'm not a city person, but I do. Now that I think about it, there are some really nice. Montpelier, Vermont, I believe, is the smallest capital in the whole country. It's a very small, compact. It's a very, very nice, leafy, kind of like. It's got like a kind of a hip vibe. A lot of neat restaurants, coffee places. But it's just very manageable, very pretty, and you can walk right into the state capitol. It's not a big deal. You're not going to get. You don't have to go through metal detectors or anything like that. And you can just roam around. But what I really wanted to mention was in South Dakota. We went to. Have you ever been to the capitol there? It's not. It's you would think it's pronounced Pierre, but it's as I learned, it's Pear. Have you ever been to that state capitol?
No, I do not believe
No.
so. No.
Okay, very very few people go there because it's first of all, there's not a whole lot to see in the town. It's a small town, and you can it's about like 35 miles off Interstate 90, so nobody's gonna there's no reason to go there. But I just wanted to have a quick look at it, and so this is with my son now. This is I don't know 10 years ago, and we went. I remember we got there on a Friday afternoon. And I said, let's go take a look at the state capitol. Let's just go take a drive, see what the state capitol is like. So we got there, I don't know, it was about 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. Absolutely nobody there. The place was deserted. We walked right in. All the doors were unlocked, the front doors and the back doors. I think we went in through the back door. And we just roamed around the state capitol. No cameras, no metal detectors, no security guards. Every single door was open except the door to the governor's office. I said, well, I just said, this is the kind of America I want to live in, just free and trusting. And, you compare that to any other capital city in any of the blue states, it's just a completely different world. And I just couldn't believe that they would be so trusting that anybody could just walk in and do as they pleased, go into any room. And as I said, the place was completely deserted. And there was a sign on the door that the doors would be locked at 7 o'clock or something like that. But
Wow, that's
yeah,
cool.
it was just,
Yeah.
yeah, it was just a one of a kind experience, really. I've been to maybe 15 state capitals and nothing like that.
You know who has a really cool state capital is Salt Lake City, the Utah state capital. It is something to behold. It is amazing.
Now, you know, I've been to Salt Lake City. It's been a really long time. Is it very like Mormon? Does it have the kind of a Mormon flavor to it, or?
Yeah, the presence of the Mormon Church in Salt Lake City is very, very noticeable. In my experience, they are very, very friendly, very, very helpful. One of the big things that the Mormons do is they're really into genealogy. So if anybody is interested in researching their family history, go to Salt Lake City. They have a it's run by the Mormon Church. I'll see if I can find it really quick, the exact name of it. But it's basically a history. You can go in there and they'll help you with researching your family history. They have all the archives. They have all sorts of databases.
Somebody like me, though, I mean, with my, you know, who's of Italian ancestry, they can look up that up.
Absolutely. It's right in.
Really?
Yeah, it's right in like the city center area, right near the state capitol as well. It's right near the main temple square, like where the main Mormon church is. It's called in fact, there is a museum of the Mormon church right next to it. Let's see, where the heck is it? I'm looking at the map here. Geez, I'm sorry. I can't find it at the moment. Conference center there's the big conference center. The Mormon Church Conference Center. Yeah, it's called the Family History Library.
Oh, wow.
And it's right next door to the Church History Museum, the Mormon Church History Museum, which is really cool and worth going into. You know what? The Mormons, they have a really interesting background, one that I'd like to learn more about. When you know, I've been to Salt Lake City numerous times now because I have family there. But, you know, you can walk in this little you know, this little main part of the city where the state capitol is right there. All the Mormon stuff is right there. There's a big like mall area as well. And then south of there, you kind of get like more into like just the regular downtown. There's a beautiful Catholic church. We went to mass there called, I think it's Cathedral of the Madeleine, I think is how you say it. Really, really beautiful Catholic church. We went to mass last trip I was there actually. And it's a cool town. I really like Salt Lake City. It's very pretty. It's very clean. You know, the Mormon presence is there, but I'm frankly not, you know, I know a lot of people have a lot of criticisms of Mormons, but you know, in my experience, they were very friendly, very helpful. You know, you go into this family history research area. And as soon as you walk in, you will have however many people you want to help you with everything. They'll set you up an account. You know, it's all free. You know, it's really cool. It's a really cool place.
Yeah, I mean, you know, having been through Utah a few times, I remember having nothing but good experiences there. I don't know how much – it's been a real long time since I've been to Salt Lake, though. Have there been a lot of, like, third world immigration there?
You know what? From what I've noticed, not really.
Not that much?
Nah, it doesn't seem like it. I mean, I definitely didn't get that vibe. It's a very, very, very white city, very white area. You do see homeless people. It's kind of got a liberal, you know, kind of Black Lives Matter type nonsense vibe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's definitely, like, you know, the tranny gay stuff is... You see that?
Really? Wow.
Yeah, you see that sort of stuff. So it's kind of got a left-wing vibe, like, you know, most cities nowadays anyways. Mm-hmm. But overall, though, I think it's a pretty, you know, fairly family-friendly and, you know, family-oriented type place. I'm talking more like in like downtown Salt Lake City. If you go outside the city, you know, it's all very, you know, very family-oriented, family-friendly and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And beautiful mountains as well. Like the mountain ranges are amazing. We actually drove out to what was the name of the ski resort? Not Park City. But anyways, I can't remember exactly what it was called, but it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. There's a ton of ski resorts. There's a lot of hiking trails. you know, lots of nature, you know, nature activities. It's cool. It's a really cool place.
Yeah, well, Utah is a state for national parks. I mean,
Yeah,
did
yep.
you ever get down to Zion and Bryce and
No,
Arches?
I never have, but
No,
I
oh,
absolutely
wow.
have to. Yeah, I'm like, maybe we'll try
Yeah,
to do that actually, 'cause I think if
you
we
should.
take if I think if we actually take I mean, again, it might be a little bit out of the way, but it might be worth
Oh,
it
it's
to
pretty.
take instead of
Well,
taking 80 directly, take 76 south into Denver and then take 70 through the Rocky Mountains, 'cause when you get through Colorado and you get into Utah, Moab is like right there. Just a little bit south on 70. And then Mount Zion is a little bit further south than that, I think.
Well, most of the really scenic red rock stuff like Zion and Bryce and Arches. There's also I haven't been to Canyonlands. That's there too, but that's
That's
all in the southern part of the state, and
it's like the southeastern part, right?
Well, kind of south central, I would say. It's kind of spread out, but it's definitely in the southern part of Utah, and it's not too far from the Grand Canyon. I imagine you've been to the Grand Canyon,
I have
have you?
never been to the Grand
No.
Canyon, actually. No, I never made
All
it.
right. Okay, well,
Yeah, I got a
a
lot
lot
more
to
to
see
see. I
down
mean,
there.
I've seen a lot, but I got a lot more to see, you know. Well, and that's the thing, another point I'd like to make here as we kind of wrap up. Once you kind of get your travel bug, like, man, I'm gonna be a lifelong traveler. Like, I just want to see as much as I can before I die.
I
You
know the
know?
feeling, yeah. I've kind of slowed down. I'm 69 now. I've kind of slowed down a bit. And I'm not sure if I'll ever get on a plane again with all the everything that's going on with COVID and all the, you know. Have you flown recently, by the way?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You have?
Yeah,
I
everything's
just
more or
don't.
less back to normal. I mean, it's the TSA experience is of course insulting and
I hate
degrading. It's
that.
just so ridiculous, yeah.
It is the grat's the word for it. I just
I
don't
mean,
feel like
aside
dealing
from that,
dealing
like, yeah, I haven't really had
Yeah.
too many. And you know what, even during the quote-unquote pandemic, and you know, you were supposed to wear a mask and things like that. I mean, I kind of got away with a lot, to be honest with you. I didn't have my mask on
Yeah.
most of the time, and only like once or twice was anybody like really kind of forceful and rude about it. You know, most of the time, it seems like most people were kind of over it anyways. You know, so wasn't too much willing compliance. Let's say at least for a lot. I mean, you know, you've of course you got like your brain dead idiots that are still wearing it to this day, and you're gonna run into them. But most like average normal people were like over wearing the mask, I think, at least in my experience.
Yeah, we're here too. Yeah, like you said, just a couple here and there. Just a couple of really people that are really out of it still wearing masks. Especially
Yeah.
the I still see people walking down the street. Not very often, once in a while.
Can you imagine walking down the street wearing your mask? It's
Alone
just,
wearing a mask.
yeah,
Yeah,
alone,
it's
all by
crazy.
yourself, walking your dog. Yeah.
So, whatever. So,
Oh man.
okay.
Well, John,
Yeah,
this
look,
is
I've been
good,
out
man.
here.
Yeah, no, there's a lot that you
You.
know, we didn't even get to really. I mean, I took a whole trip up to like Southeast Oregon to cover that. Remember when they were the Burns National Wildlife Refuge standoff?
Yes, I do
Remember,
remember that.
I drove up there with the buddy from San Diego. Well, yeah, actually, I was in San Diego at the time. That was a
While it was
cool.
going
That's
on?
a cool drive. Yeah. We went up there. I had like videos. I interviewed that Lloyd Finicum
Really?
guy. Yeah, I
I
interviewed that
remember
Lloyd Finicum guy that ended up getting killed by the, was it the Oregon State
FB
Troopers? Or maybe it
or
was the
the
feds.
FBI.
I don't know. Yeah.
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 Wow.
And then, you know, I don't know. I mean, I thought you were kind of more of a city person, but. You know, there's a lot we could talk about in New York City, Philadelphia, Boston, but we'll save some of this for next time. I'd like to
Okay.
hear more about Florida. I'd really like to take a trip to Florida. I mean, just to check it out, check out the beaches. I'm a bit, I like if I my ideal vacation would be hanging out at a beach and, you know, getting some sun and then maybe, you know, doing a walking tour of, you know, of the city or whatever. Like that's if I'm just like relaxing. If I'm sightseeing, of course, you know, you could probably do a lot more than that, but I tend to like when I travel, I try to do a little bit of everything, you know.
So you're heading out to Salt Lake when now?
Actually on Monday.
Oh, wow, it's coming up.
Yeah, so
Okay.
on Monday I'm going out there. Yeah, and well, I don't want to say too much on the air, but I've got some family out there and I'm going to be out there for a couple big events, so.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, yeah, we'll definitely do this again. I think this was kind of a good conversation. I don't know what people are going to think if people are going to find this interesting or just skip it over.
I don't know either. I don't know either. I mean, there are places, you know, I have all these little places of interest jotted down, basically mostly on the East Coast. So we can talk about that. I mean, you know, Florida, not that I've seen a great deal of Florida. I've seen a fair amount. But, yeah, we can talk about.
We also got to talk about, like, bucket lists, like places that we have always wanted to go but just, you know, haven't.
Mm-hmm.
You know what place I'd really love to go to just to check it out? I'd really like to go to Cuba. I don't even know why. I don't even know why, honestly. I had a friend that when I studied abroad in Peru, and I had a friend that somehow managed to, like, make a trip to Cuba, like, on his way back. And just had nothing but cool things to say, yeah.
My sister went there. My sister, her husband, and her daughter went there about 3 years ago.
Interesting.
They liked it. They said, I don't know. Politically, I'm not on the same page as my sister, so I don't know. Not that she's a real leftist or anything, but overall, I think they had a good time there.
Yeah.
That was always kind of a place I wanted to see. I probably never will, but always curious about it.
Yeah, Cuba would be cool. I'd really like to do Eastern Europe, including Russia, but that's
We could talk about. I've seen quite a bit of Eastern Europe, so.
Okay.
Yeah, and I took the Trans-Siberian back in 1980. That was quite an experience. Actually,
wow.
We could even talk about, you know, if we want to talk about travel again. I went to in 1978 and 1980. I traveled, I think, six or seven. I traveled around a lot of the communist countries, the countries that were behind the Iron Curtain back then. You know, this is like a full decade before the collapse of communism. And it was a very, very eye-opening experience, you know?
Yes, we definitely need to talk about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'd love to talk about it.
All right. Well, cool, John. Yeah, it was good to catch up with you. I'll definitely stay in touch. And, yeah, maybe in a couple weeks or a month or something, we can reconnect.
All right, let's see how people feel about this, because I know it's like we're sitting at a bar just
– I know.
You know,
yeah. too bad. I didn't even crack a beer or anything. Next time maybe I will, and we'll really shoot the shit.
Good idea.
Well, anybody listening, you know, leave a comment. Let us know what you think. I mean, I don't know how well-received this will be or if, you know, people find it interesting, but – It's at least interesting to me. You know, it's a good hour and a half.
Time, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, John.
Okay,
take care, man. I will be in touch.
Very good.
Have
All
a
right.
great weekend.
Come on now.
Okay. Bye.
Okay.